I once read a story about a judge who sits down on the bench on the first day of trial. And with a very grim face, he looks at both parties and he says, "I have a very troubling announcement to make. Both parties have submitted significant bribes for this trial. Attorney John, you have submitted $50,000 on behalf of your client. And Attorney Sam, $60,000. This is unacceptable, completely unethical. Sam, I'll return $10,000 to you, and now with an even playing field, we can have a fair trial." In this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu describes Hashem in glowing terms. Ki Hashem Elokeichem, hu Elokeho Elokim, v'Adonai Adonim, hakel, hagadol, hagibor, v'hanora. And then he continues, Asher lo yisaf anim, v'lo yikach shochad. Aside from being great and powerful and mighty and awesome, Hashem doesn't show favoritism, and he doesn't take bribes. That's the great praise of Hashem. He's not grossly unethical, and he doesn't take bribes. What does that mean? And what would it even mean to bribe Hashem? What would I have thought? Listen, God, I know we have a lot of problems, you and I, not seeing eye to eye on this, but here's a 50. Let's call it even. What does that mean that Hashem doesn't take bribes? What would it mean? And what exactly are we describing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his judgment system, but the fact that he does not show favoritism? The Ramban in this week's Parsha points out a few different answers. One of his answers is, we have the wrong perspective on exactly how Hashem's system of judgment works. From a young age, we were taught about a system with a scale, a balance beam scale, where mitzvos go on one side and averos on the other side of the scale. I've heard plenty of stories as a kid about a person who, at the end of his life, things weren't looking so good. All the averos were piling up on one side of the scale, and it was looking pretty down. But then out of nowhere, a mitzvah, an act of achnasas orchem, an act of tzedakah comes shooting out of the background and lands on the good side and flips the scale and all the averos fall off and the person's rushed right to Gan Eden. So that is not how Hashem's justice works. It's true that the idea of a scale is applicable for Rosh Hashanah, the idea of being judged lefi rov meisim, that has an application for Yamin Narayim. But ultimately, at the end of a person's life, every action has to be accounted for. There's no outweighing and just following the rov. Ramban writes that a person may have thought we can bribe Hashem with our actions. If a person does 1,000 mitzvos and one avera, let's call it even. We'll trade a mitzvah for an avera. I won't get schar for one mitzvah and I won't get punished for that avera. I'll just have a net total of 999 mitzvos and zero punishment. Pasuk says that him does not show favoritism and he does not take bribes. Every single thing that we do is accounted for, both good and bad. Hashem would never cancel out a mitzvah. Hashem would never overlook the fact that a person did even one avera, one small avera. Chazal and Pirkei Avos, they quote this pasuk in Parshas Ekev. At the end of the fourth parak, Chazal are describing the ultimate judgment day a person's going to have to face at the end of their lives. And Chazal say, buckle up, it's going to be intense. Because this judge, lo yisaf anim, lo yikach shochad. He can't be swayed, you can't buy him. And there the Rambam, at the end of the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, says the same idea as the Ramban in this week's Parsha. The Rambam writes, a person should not think that Hashem will just look at the totality of his life, and overall you are a good person. That's not how it works. He gives a few examples. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, how would you rate him? All of us would say, pretty good guy, overall, probably the best. And yet, when it came to his chet at Mei Meriva, whatever exactly that chet was with the rock, whatever it was, Hashem punished Moshe for that action. Hashem didn't say, overall, you're a good person, I'll let it slide this one time. And the same is true in reverse when it comes to mitzvahs. No matter how few mitzvahs a person has, they're never lost. Esav, terrible guy, overall, one of the worst ever. And yet, says the Rambam, Hashem rewarded Esav for his kibud av, for his tremendous respect that he had for his father Yitzchak. Nothing is overlooked. Hashem is not swayed by any bribes. Every detail is taken into account. The Meshech Chachma in this week's Parsha explains that that's because mitzvos and averos have a natural consequence to our neshamos. And it would be ridiculous to ask Hashem to just look at the totality. There's something wrong. There's something on your neshama. There's a blemish that has to be addressed. He writes, imagine a person goes to the doctor. The doctor had ordered some tests because he has some suspicions. And the patient says, doctor, before you open that file, the charts, listen, here's $100, just tell me I'm healthy and let me leave, okay? What's that going to do? The person is sick, and the doctor has to help him. It wouldn't help to say, overlook it. You need treatment. And that treatment, Mashal Chachma explains, is tshuva. We can't tell Hashem to just overlook our averos because there might be few and far in between. And most of us really, just most of our lives are spent in mitzvos, in ma'asim tovim. We have a few little dots here and there. And we tend to think of ourselves, and overwhelmingly we're good people, and that's probably true. But when it comes to Yom HaDin, as we now move past Tisha B'Av, and all the shuls are starting to think about for seating, for shofar, how are we going to arrange for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur this year? That's a good question. But as we start to prepare for Yom HaDin, the Yom HaDin in this world, we have to remember, every aveira that a person has to be accounted for. And even if a person overall is good, it's the time for tshuva, it's the time for introspection to say, how can I get rid of this stain? How can I get proper treatment to remove any blemish in my neshama? And not just to assume that overall, I'm a good person. That's the first takeaway I want to leave you with. As we approach Elul, to realize that everything that needs fixing needs to be fixed, and we can't just say overall things are pretty good. And the second thing is that we have to work on emulating Hashem in this area. Hashem does not look at people in completely black or white. Very nuanced. People like Moshe Rabbeinu still have some faults. And more importantly, people like Esav, who we might see as without redeeming qualities whatsoever, he got his rewards for whatever he did right. Unfortunately, we tend to look at people in that black and white system. Good, bad, didn't help me, was mean to me. The truth is, Rav Palm writes, there is no bitul barov by hakaras hatov. If someone once did something good for us, that can't be lost in the shuffle of other things that we don't like about them. Just like Hashem, we have to realize that there are people out there who may have some faults, and that be true. But they also have redeeming qualities, and we have to hone in on those. If for ourselves, we have to remember that the good that we do should not overwhelm the fact that there's things we have to fix. When working with other people, we have to remember that maybe larger mistakes or problems that they have shouldn't overwhelm the goodness that they have within them. Over the past year, I've worked with dozens of teachers and parents on creating behavior charts. When children have issues in school or home with behavior, they make a reward system. They get a point for every time they brush their teeth before bed or sit still in the classroom. One of the mistakes that I see a lot of educators and parents make with behavior charts is that they reward for good behavior, but they also punish for bad behavior. You can get a point for doing the right thing, but lose it if you act out later in class or at home. And the problem that psychologists have found with this model is that if good behavior is not absolute, if it can be lost, if a child can earn a prize but then lose it with a different, unrelated bad act, then the child learns that the behaviors are not worth it. Good behavior can end up being a waste. And when a child is young and needs to be trained in terms of acting in the right way, what helps the most is to realize that no good deed goes unrewarded. Regardless of whatever else they might do that day, 5 minutes later, if they earn the reward, they earn the reward. It can't be lost in the shuffle. They can't lose points on the chart. They can't lose the sticker. They can't lose the reward that they've earned with their good actions. Good actions can never be overwhelmed, can be lost out because of other actions. Hashem should help us to have this perspective, to properly see Hashem as a true and fair judge that He is, who doesn't take any bribes, not 50s, not 100s, and not even mitzvos and averos. It's both terrifying and also inspiring to think about the fact that nothing is overlooked. On the one hand, it means that we have to be sure during this time to fix any missteps, small little things along the way. We have to work on those too as we approach Elul. But also very inspiring on the positive side to realize that every good action that's done is rewarded and cannot be lost no matter what else happens in a person's life. And to look at others in the same way, be it the children that we raise or teach, to recognize that good actions have to be taught are everlasting. There's no way around it. And to look at other people and to be makir tov, to recognize the good, that hakaras hatov cannot be batel barov. It can't say that overwhelmingly a person is bad. Every good thing has to be recognized and appreciated. And by treating others well and judging them fairly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a good year of judgment and a ksiva chasima tovah.